This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Hello there, welcome to... Oh, I just bit my tongue then.
Oh dear, you okay?
I am all right. I think I'll get through. I stung by a wasp biting my tongue. Just this absolute litany of abuse that my body's going through at the moment, and the old hemorrhoid's still there. Welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, John Richardson. It's worse in the heat.
And me, Matt Ford. I've not bitten myself at all. And remarkably, broadly, ailment-free. This is the podcast where we sometimes talk about FPL, and to be fair to us this season, we've actually done way more FPL, I reckon, this season already than we did last season. Mm-hmm. So back off, you virgins.
Joining us this week, ex-Nottingham Forest legend, played a total of 0 games for the club.
But then went on to have a glittering career, playing over 450 professional games and managing Burnley for over 10 years. One of, if not the funniest, Premier League managers in history, and a man blessed with, let's be honest, one of the sexiest voices in the world. It's Sean Dyche.
But first, let's have a chat about the upcoming week.
Yes, John.
Have you read this stuff about... Obviously, we spoke earlier, I met Gareth Southgate in a toilet at Elland Road.
Yeah.
He was suited and booted. He was full England manager. He was full role model mode. I picked up an energy off him that said, I know what I'm doing. I'm good on political events. I know what my job is as a manager, but I know what my responsibilities are, first and foremost, as a human being. And I was in awe of that. So I fumbled a quick, oh, I think you're amazing. It's been revealed this week he used to run around in the showers at Middlesbrough smacking people's arses.
I love that. I love that because it gives his life a narrative arc. Now, he was obviously never a wayward lad. You know, he was never a Georgie Best, a Gazza or a Grealish. But it's nice to know that even Southgate engaged in low-level delinquent behaviour and was able to overcome that desire to slap naked men's butts and become England manager. And I think it gives everyone hope that actually you can find the way of the light, as the church will tell you.
Do you ever get away from that? If you're an arse smacker, are you not an arse smacker? Is he not just fighting to repress those feelings that will one day come to the fore? I mean, I tell you what, you can't be pulling that in Qatar.
You're absolutely right. Actually, it is disgusting that that man manages England. And I cannot believe that those bods at Lancaster Gate have employed a pervert to lead this country. But, you know, I guess, you know, if you look around at positions of authority, John, you know, with my not wanting to put my satire hat on, but, you know, this is a problem that's a problem around the world.
Well, I bet it's not a problem around the world, I'll tell you that. If he smacks an arse in Qatar, he's getting 40 years.
Well, and he won't have any hands.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, imagine Southgate makes a mistake in Qatar. Or I'd say make a mistake, physically assaults a player's bum, and then he's then put on trial. Imagine that as a backdrop to the tournament.
If you had to smack an England player's bottom.
Ooh. I mean, obviously, you sort of Grealish immediately comes to mind, doesn't it? Because of his legs and the fact that he'd probably be, you know, he'd take it in good spirits.
Well, also, he looks like he does work on his. I bet he has it shaved. I bet he moisturises it.
I imagine Harry Kane's is very flat. I imagine it to be a sort of featureless bum.
Granite. He wouldn't feel it. He'd be out. You could run up and punch his ass and he wouldn't even flinch.
I reckon Grealish, it'd be like standing behind a horse. You'd go, fuck. God, not an ounce of fat on it.
Yeah.
Crikey.
Calvin Phillips for me.
Oh.
Just you know, reunite that bond, you know. Just we used to smack your ass all the time at Leeds. I didn't. I've never smacked his ass.
Thanks for clarifying that. I think people may have wondered.
Yeah. Let's talk about the week to come. Have you had a look at next week's fixtures? How do you expect Nottingham Forest to... How do you expect Nottingham Forest to get on at home to West Ham? And how do you expect your team to do this week.
What was that you just happened there?
I don't know. I didn't know what word I was going to say.
Feature?
Yeah, feature, but it's not the right word, is it? How do you expect Nottingham Forest to fare?
That's fair, yes. I think we'll batter. I think we'll batter West Ham.
And I went to a fair this week.
What sort of fair?
What am I like? I went to pick up my father from Morecambe, and I was delighted to visit the fairground on Morecambe Seafront, where I went on a funhouse, and my father went on a caterpillar roller coaster with my daughter.
And were there waltzers?
Had a right result, mate. Queuing for, there may have been waltzers. We don't go down the grown-up end. Mm. I'm scared. Went to the old food stand. Nobody waiting. Yeah. I said, he'll come and serve you, mate. He's just doing that right there. Wandered over to the other food stand. My daughter wants some candy floss. I says, have you got the bags of candy floss? She says, ooh, Mrs. No, I've only got the bucket. I says, he's got bags down there. She says, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a bucket for the price of a bag. I says, I'll have a bit of that.
John, what you just did was like, do you remember the Alison Bread advert?
Yeah.
Where you literally can't follow the dialogue because it's too northern and it's happening too quick. When he's going to try this one instead, it's Alison Bread. The label said, now, said, it came out. I said, yes, he said, this, he said, oh, he said, oh, I said, out. I'm like, that was like being slapped by round the face by northern language. I have no idea what just happened
a bag
in that story.
Of candy floss. I went to a stall. They did not have the bags. I said, they have bags at that stall down there. She said, very well. I will sell you a bucket of candy floss for the price of a bag of candy floss.
Okay, so this grand story is you bought a bucket of candy floss for the price of the bag. And what was the price of either of those two items?
£3.
As opposed to?
Admittedly, the sugar I gained, probably market value 3p. But a win's a win. I also had a wonderful chat with one of the guys operating the rides who said they'd had some kids there misbehaving the night before. He said, you lads want to behave yourself or you'll get thrown out. The lad in question says, right, I'll go and get my dad then. The man operating the ride said, fucking go and get him. 10 minutes later, Tyson Fury appeared at the event.
Wow. And then what?
And then I believe the boys were allowed to behave however they wanted.
And that man is now in the infirmary.
Yeah, we wish him a speedy recovery.
I bet you're one of those people who gets a thrill from even, like the bloke who runs the waltzers is basically a form of authority figure. I bet you still get like a little tingle in your balls when someone like that shows you a bit of respect.
I don't know, it's yet to happen.
I bet you're like, oh yeah, I'm in with a waltzers bloke, yeah. Look at me, I'm hard, me.
I can get you an extra spin, love. You want to get spun? I'll get you spun. Still, spin, lady.
Well, talking of northern football, have you seen the referee who sends off the Shrewsbury player against Accrington?
Yes.
It's lovely because
it's
brilliant because he gives him two yellows and he gives one yellow for the push, second yellow for dissent, and that one's a red. See you later. Love it. Like he's serving him food. You know, like the places you go up north. That's like he's going, there's your bucket of candy floss and there's your bag. See you later, love. Ta-ra.
Safe journey home. Safe journey into the shower room. You're done. Ta-ra.
What would you say if you were a ref?
Oh, 100%. I think I would have all of them. The only bit that upsets me, Andy Haynes, the referee in question, doesn't have a smile on his face. I would be absolutely beaming. I'd say, I knew I was going to use this when I put it in my pocket. So that's for the push. That's for being rude to me. Off you fuck.
That's not. I thought you'd go for like one up your mum and one up your bum.
Yeah. Do you know what happens when you mix yellow and yellow? It's red. Sod off.
Ooh, I tell you what would be great. Would be like a sleight of hand magic trick where he puts the yellow in the player's card, puts the top hand over it, clicks his fingers and it turns red.
I did some sleight of hand this week and I haven't thanked them personally, but I must thank our good friends Pete Furman and Danny Brockler, both fantastic comics, skilled magicians. You'll find them on the circuit. My dad's staying with us, obviously. Describe my dad to the listener.
Well, a slightly older version of you. I mean, if you listened to him, you would have no idea that it wasn't you. He has the same lovely northern voice, that lovely personality, and very similar politics.
Anyway, we're having a few cats.
Yeah. He's a geezy, your dad. I love him.
My daughter's lost a tooth this week. May have been the bucket of candy floss. We don't know. So obviously she goes to bed, she puts it under the pillow. Said to my dad, can you imagine if I forgot to go in and put money under the pillow?
Oh, no.
She wakes up in the morning. Anyway, I went to bed, totally forgot. Woke up in the morning. glanced at Mick clock at 6:45. She tends to wake up just before 7. Ooh. Absolutely shit my pants. In a way I haven't since I was at school. Like, burst up out of bed. I was like to Lucy, I've forgotten to put them under the pillow. What the fuck are we going to do? She said, well, you're just going to have to go and sort it, aren't you? So I knew that by going downstairs to get the money, I was going to wake her up. As I'm going downstairs, I heard her shout, Dad! And I thought, oh my God, I've ruined my daughter's childhood. I said, just wait a minute, I've got to go and check on the dog. Ran downstairs, got a few quid, ran back upstairs. As she's reaching under, everything I've ever learned from Pete and Danny about misdirection, yeah, obfuscation, I asked her a question. I said, what do you think you're going to get? As she's answering that, slips the money under the pillow. She lifts off. The blue little tub she's put the tooth in is still there. Grab that before she could reach for it. Lift the pillow up. She sees the quid. As she's looking at the money, trousered the tooth. The most adrenaline-ridden part of easily the last 5 years of my life. I couldn't believe I'd got away. I almost wanted to tell her. I was so proud of myself.
John, listening to that was like the denouement, the crescendo at the end of a Hollywood blockbuster, of a political thriller. My heart was in my chest. I could see every beat of that. You are a very gifted storyteller about how you put money under pillows and get rid of teeth. I mean, yeah, I think you need to write short stories about stuff like that.
It's not a bomb on the bus, is it? It's not, you know, if the bus goes under 50 miles an hour, it's if your daughter sees that. And I was warned last time, it's her second tooth. I spoke to a friend. A friend said, what do you want to do? And this is a tip for any parents out whose children are of tooth losing age, which I guess is around 5 or 6 or a bit older if you don't look after them and brush their teeth. They said, what you want to do? Hide 3 quid with a little note somewhere in their bedroom while they're out. And then in future, when you forget, you say, oh, maybe she couldn't get under your pillow last night because you were fast asleep. Let's have a look around. Wallet is in the wardrobe. I was warned and I didn't do it.
Kids would find that, wouldn't they?
No, you put it on a tall shelf or something.
Kids climb up stuff, man. What if she found that too early? That's the problem. You create another problem. I think your technique is best. And given that Pete Furman and Danny Buckler inspired it, Pete Furman is obviously currently at the Edinburgh Festival. So if any CPFPLers are coming, obviously prioritise coming to see me, because me and Pete do clash. But if you're up for a few days,
personalities and time-wise,
go and see Pete and then wait for him. And if you can get like a selfie with him or something, but say to him, I just love your football stuff. And it will absolutely perplex him. And don't say anything more than that.
Podcast, does he?
Just say, love your football stuff.
Yeah. Cheers for the tooth tip. And then wink.
Oh, maybe that, yeah.
Thanks for the kids' teeth.
Yeah. And maybe get a selfie with him, so let us know. And I'll see if he mentions it to me, because I meet up with him periodically up here.
I'm very grateful to him. I can't thank him enough for everything he's taught me. I then pulled the old, I'm going to know what word you're looking at in a book trick.
Oh.
And, once you find out how that's done, absolutely devastating.
I don't think I do know how that one's done.
You don't want to know?
Oh, I think I do know, actually.
Yeah? I mean,
let's talk about it offline, because I don't want to give away the industry secrets.
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet. Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
John, what have you been drinking with your dad this week?
At home, of course, I'm drinking Roosters Baby-Faced Assassin.
Oh, well, that is an absolute beauty of a beer. So, what do you make of the flavour?
Yeah, it's a classic IPA. What it hasn't got, sometimes I find with a hoppy IPA, gets you in the back of the mouth, the mandible, the very corner of the jaw. It's got a lovely juicy fruitiness to it.
I mean, it is absolutely incredible. I mean, you know what I always find amazing is when you get a really tasty one like that, when it's 6% and it doesn't taste like 6%, and it just tastes so tasty.
I tell you what I like as well. It comes in one of those little cardboard packets that you get to tear the end off. It makes me feel like an American in a film.
Yes, it does. Yeah, they come in those fridge packs, so they're easy access opening. And you can get them at the Roosters website. I mean, you just stick one of these in your fridge and you're basically happy all week. Just go to roosters.co.uk, get the most delicious beers aimed at humans at roosters.co.uk and enter the code CPFPL20 at checkout to get 20% off everything apart from gift vouchers until the end of September, and you get free shipping on orders over £50. They also do a cluck and collect service if you're local to Harrogate, so you can just go and pick it up. I mean, the problem is every time we talk about this, I'm just animated with a deep desire to just drink that entire fridge pack all in one go.
Yeah, but you're being very good at the Edinburgh Festival. Not even tempted to raise a glass to celebrate the capitulation of Manchester United at the start of the season, no?
I think it's different for you. I think with Leeds, it's a more active rivalry. Obviously, when Man United lose 2-1 to Brighton, you were like, Forest losing 2-0 away at Newcastle, actually, isn't the end of the world, is it?
No.
And did you know, Erik ten Hag is a perfectionist who asks for the grass to be cut to 2 millimetres. And, oh boy, wouldn't that benefit you, Mr. Fruit Pastel Lolly Dropper? Because if you dropped it on Erik ten Hag's lawn, you wouldn't even know because the grass is so short.
Yeah, and also key, if you have a defecating animal in your house or a defecating human, if anyone is crapping on your lawn, you want to keep that grass short.
Do you know what? Do you think you've ever seen not a human actually do it? But obviously, you know, if you live in the UK, the sight of poo in the street is not unusual, sadly. Do you think you've ever seen one and thought, I think that's from a human?
It occurs to me that something happened to me over the summer.
Oh, God.
When we were recording.
Yeah.
That I haven't told you about.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
It's quite late. I wonder if I should save it for next week.
Well, you can do if you like. But that's great because, John, again, this is what I was saying. You are a great storyteller because just as the story you told us about Elsie and the Tooth had so many little cliffhangers, now you've created a grand one where in the next episode we're going to be so excited to hear what happened.
Well, let me tell you this, and I state this with full confidence.
Yeah, I'm writing notes down so that I don't forget this. Go on.
This is a better story than the Tooth story.
Wow.
This is, do you know what? I cannot believe I haven't told you about this.
So this is John's story from the summer. And if I just say, oh, you told us you were going to tell us a story, would that trigger your memory or do I need to say something
mate,
else?
100%. All you've got to say is, tell me that thing that happened to you over the summer.
Okay.
It's a deeply humiliating thing, but I'm so excited to tell you because you will take such joy in it. I'm going to say, if not the, certainly top three most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me in my life.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, email us, hello@cpfpl.com. What do you think happened? And whoever gets closest, we will send a prize to. We'll maybe send you a dog toy or maybe something that's relevant. Maybe we'll send you £3. How much did you give Elsie for the tooth?
£3.
There you go, £3. We will send you £3. I will personally backs it to you. So email us, hello@cpfpl.com, if you can guess. And the closest guess, someone will win £3. So Daichi, thank you so much for coming on the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League Football podcast.
Pleasure.
Have you ever actually played Fantasy Premier League?
No, but some people said on our weaker moments I was playing it every weekend. So. I don't play, but I've had it shouted at me.
So what are you doing now that you're not managing Burnley? Like, are you actively looking for another job or are you just enjoying the freedom?
No, it doesn't really work like that. As you can imagine, there's only so many jobs around. There's only so many chances. I was on the hamster wheel going along, getting on with things like you do. And it's not till you come off it when you actually go, you know what? Not such a bad thing for a bit, you know? Get your thirst back, get your drive back. Not that it was lacking. I wasn't lacking energy or any of that. You know, some managers come out, they say, oh, they're tired and all that, but I wasn't that. Just regular stuff, to be honest. I watched a few games, but not obsessively. As you know, I'm based in Nottingham, so I try and watch the Tricky Trees when I can. And, you know, local, I was up at Barnsley on Saturday because Michael Duff, who played for me and coaching me at Burnley, he's taken over there. So, you know, he said, do you want to throw your eyes on what we're doing? I said, yeah. So a bit of that.
Does that not mean if you turn up at any game, does that not mean that the papers then say, guess who we've seen at Barnsley this week?
Right. So I'll give you a very quick story. So when I was at Watford, my first job, we'd had a really tough start. I got to about game 13. We'd only like won once and a few draws and stuff. And I was getting on the edge, you know, fans are wanting me out already. And there was 11 managers, of which 9 were out of work at a game. And I vowed to never do it. And I vowed to never do it. So I don't. So when I come out of Watford, I go to either clubs I know and have got links with or in my area. So at that time, I was living in Northampton. I went to MK Dons because it was down the road. Obviously, Northampton because I played there and it's where I lived. Forest because of my links there. And Leicester. They're the only teams I went to. Because that way I thought, well, if people say, oh, he's here because this, that, and the other, you go, no, I'm not. I've been here for weeks. So
Forest, obviously.
In this case, it'd be Forest, Leicester. I know John Rudkin there. I've known him for donkey's years from when I was doing the youth system or working in the youth system. So I'd probably go down to Leicester, and it's not a million miles away, obviously. People I know in the game, that's different. Of course, managers I know, if they invite me, say, look, will you come and have a look? But I'll probably stick in the Midlands. I don't think I'll go much further.
But surely there's someone in the game, someone who's upset you. I'm not going to mention any names. There was a bit of beef this week between Jesse Marsh and Bruno Lage. There must be someone where you think, I tell you what, just to annoy him. I'm going to say you were upset with the Plymouth manager. You just think, I've got a Saturday free. I'm going to drive down to Plymouth, be seen at the ground, and drive home.
Nah, it's one of the things, isn't it? I mean, there's plenty of fallout on the sidelines, you know, but most of them are right, you know, outside of what you do when you're in your profession and you're battling and you're fighting and you want to win and all that. Most are right, to be honest. And I don't really get involved in all that. Never did. You know, I do what I do, try and work hard at it and let it go after the game. But there's a few that I carry a little, I've got to be honest, but anyway, we'll not share that.
So going to watch Forest, obviously last season was amazing. We've only had one game this season. We lost away to Newcastle. Have you watched any of it? And have you seen that corner routine where they wait outside the box and then charge in? And can you give us a Premier League manager's view on whether that's a good idea or not?
Well, firstly, I saw the highlights. I didn't go up there. I'll probably try if I can get a ticket on Sunday, because obviously it'd be rammed because it's the first game back in so many years in the Premier League and all that. You know, I hope they do great. I think it's amazing what they did last season, how it turned around and they got there. I hope they stand by the manager and the team, because it's not easy. I've been down that road myself with Burnley. It's incredibly difficult the first season. The second's kind of even worse, but the first is, you know, just so difficult to stay in there. Tough one for them at Newcastle, but, you know, you're going to get runs in the Premier League when you don't win. You do want to win early if you can, because it kind of settles everything down, but it's not easy. As regards corners and all that, you know, everyone had their routines. I mean, it always tickled us when we were at Burnley. We had this where it was like, you know, a new manager going wherever, and they were immediately a tactical genius and had loads of these tricks and, you know, different ways of working and stuff that apparently we've never done. Trust me, we're all doing it. We're all there. We had analysis. We had corner analysis. We had against, for, set pieces, you know, different ways of working, different ways of playing, different ways, But it doesn't sell a story. So therefore, someone comes out with something and it makes a story regardless, because it's new or it's different or whatever.
Obviously, one of the great things about match day going to Forest is the pubs in the city centre, the pubs around the ground. So what are your favourite places to go in Nottingham on a match day?
Well, to be honest, I haven't done the match day thing in that regard. You know, I as you can imagine, it's fair to say I don't blend well. if I go in a pub before a game, trust me, it is just a selfie off, and I'm not trying to make out I'm some mega famous person at all, but people seem to be obsessed with selfies now, so
yeah.
I don't go into pubs before a game for that reason. I do go around Nottingham and have a beer or two. I do like a beer or two. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't, but no, I don't do the match day thing. Usually I go into the ground as late as possible, usually leave 10 or 15 minutes before the end.
I've got obviously sympathy with, you know, there are certain busy pubs that you just don't go in if you want to have a quiet pint. I did see this week you were seen at a pub called the Royal Deitch. You've got to expect to be having a selfie in a pub that's named after you, right?
Well, that's a bit different, eh? no, what actually happened was the lovely lady who runs it, Justine, I promised her I would go in at some point. I absolutely promised her, and I didn't get to do it. So a friend of mine sort of organised it with her. It was a very tight crowd of, she knew, regulars and stuff, fans. We had a Q&A, had a couple of hours there. She showed us around the pub. Very controlled environment. And as you said, of course, lots of pictures and all that. But that's a different thing. By the way, I'm just making clear, I know you guys are in public eye. I'm actually not that bothered about it. It's just that people sort of own it. You know, they come up to you no matter what you are doing. So this always makes me laugh. First line, sorry to bother you. Right, let me stop you right there. You are because you are bothering me, because I'm having dinner with my kids. I don't know why you want a selfie now, but anyway, here you go, here's a selfie.
It is always quicker just to have it, isn't it? Sometimes people say to me, like, what, you know, are you ever sometimes tempted to say no? And you think, well, it takes longer to say no, really, than it does to do it. And then they walk away and say, oh, I met him, he was a right dickhead.
Well, yeah, you can't really win with that, as you well know, and you're right. So if you don't do it, it's like, oh, up himself, couldn't be bothered and all that. So you might as well do it. I tend to grab their phone and do it myself now because I'm quicker at doing it than they are. You know,
Well, you've also got the disadvantage that, I'll be honest, I'm about 5'2". I can sort of go behind a skirting board if I want to have a quiet pipe. But I imagine you don't have that benefit.
No, well, as the thing is, I don't blend. Quite obviously, my voice doesn't either. People are into football, you know, whether you like it or not, necessarily mad fans, but its exposure is massive. So you're on a TV screen, people see you. I must make it clear, though, because I know you guys are out there doing, you know, what you do, and you do get these moments. Most people, you know, people forget, most people are really, really generous, really kind. They just want a quick selfie or a quick word. You just get the odd one or two that ruin the feel of all of it. But very rarely, I must say, I'm very fortunate. I don't remember too many incidents where it's been, you know, out of order or vulgar or anything like that. A couple, but not many at all. Most people are very, very gracious and just literally want to say hello and a quick photo. The one I don't mind sharing. Sorry, Fordy, I must share this with you, though. The one that always amazed me, and my kids, right? Especially my kids. People do this thing. When they say your name out really loud, you're going to turn around and join in with them and just go, hey, how are you going? It's the weirdest thing. So I just carry on walking. And then they're almost offended that I carry on walking. So I'll literally be 20 yards away and go, oh, there's Sean Dyche. And I think I'm just going to turn around and walk over and go, hey, you know, how are you going? It's really weird.
You get so good, don't you, at spotting people who have clearly spotted you but either are pretending not to have. Or the one I hate is watching someone Google you in front of you where they're not sure who you are, but they know they've seen you somewhere. So they sit on Google for 10 minutes opposite you on a train, and you know they're coming up eventually.
Oh, it's bizarre, yeah. And they think you go see them. They think, like, they're invisible. And what about the other one where they come over and go, it's you, isn't it? It's you. And you go, I suppose it is, yeah. No, it is you, isn't it? And I always go, you know, it's just something ridiculous, like, well, Steve Davis. Yeah, Steve Davis. Obviously, something ginger.
Or they tell you you're not you. Have you ever had that one where they come and go, you're not Sean Dyche?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, here's one for you. Friend down in Northampton, his daughter came in a pub we were having a pint with some of his mates, and I was actually on Match of the Day, and his daughter went, that's not you. I said, the voice is incredible, but I said, no, it's not me. And she wouldn't have it. We were wetting ourselves laughing.
I had a guy at a train station a few weeks ago come up to me, like an old guy, and he went, he said, I know you. I said, all right. He said, you went to school in Tunbridge. I said, I didn't. He said, yes, I used to teach you. And it was that awful thing where he actually didn't know who I was, but he must have just seen me on maybe one thing that week. So he went, well, then where are you from? I was like, I'm from Nottingham. I said, it's fine. He goes, well, what do you do? And then I was like, I'm a comedian. He's like, oh, I don't think I recognise you. And I was like, oh, God, this is... And then he's like, what sort of comedian? I'm like, oh, I just sort of do political stuff. And it was just the most miserable exchange where...
Yeah, painful, yeah.
Oh, it was just embarrassing because he didn't know my name or anything like that. He just had seen my face and thought he'd taught me. And I've just grudgingly quoted my CV in the hope that it would go, oh, yes, it's you. You're wonderful. And that just did not come.
While we're talking about, I mean, it's obviously awkward, we're talking about leaving people be and letting them live their lives. Just, you know, they just happen to do a certain job. That said, I have to say, I ask everyone who's ever met or encountered Marcelo Bielsa, you've met him, you've managed against him. What does he smell like? How soft are his hands?
Well, I thought he was very gracious and very fair in his interviews. And I made a point of going to see him to tell him that, because I don't even remember, there was a lot of noise, I think two seasons ago, or the first season Leeds got in the Premier League, so whatever that was, a couple of seasons ago. And there was a lot of noise about Burnley, this rough, tough team and all that. And they were trying to sort of grill him on it and trying to get him to bite. And he just basically said, why are people mentioning that? Surely that's what fans want. Surely that's what players should be doing. They should be fighting. They should be trying to win. And I actually made a point of going to see him before the game and said, by the way, I appreciate your comments, which I don't normally do this. I said, because the world of football now is so bizarre. You can't touch anyone. You're not allowed to work hard, seemingly. You're not allowed to fight for your shirt and for your team. You're not allowed to play hard. I said, I can't work it out. And I said, so I really thank you for just bringing a bit of a level playing field to it. He just said, as he would, you know, very, very limited English. He said, yeah. He said, thank you. I totally believe in what you're doing at Burnley. Or the words to that effect, obviously.
Wow.
So that was it. And I just went, thanks. Shook hands. Said, I wish you well. They won. That bit wasn't so good. Not having that. And I had it happen against me with Frank Lampard last year, actually. You'll remember, or you might remember. I made a comment that sometimes, you know, you're wondering, do you know how to win? Does the team know how to win? I got absolutely battered for it. So I actually reached out to Frank and said, by the way, watch the interview. Don't look at the headlines. Watch the actual interview. Watch how I said it. Watch my tone. Watch my language. And you'll understand. And he said, Sean, no problem at all. I get you. And all it was, I just tried to share a view that when you're struggling sometimes, I've had it early, quite obviously, the team's sort of decide to, it's like they forget how to win. They're nervous, you know, and they're edgy. Mm. So I said that to the team at halftime. I said in an interview, being dead honest, I said, look, sometimes I said to the team, you know, if they've forgotten how to win, can they win? And all that. Of course, them words got thrown around like I was being out of order. Then all the pundits jumped on it. And I'm like, hang on a minute. You all know the game. Why are you doing that? You know, you
and also there's no, you know, with last season, it was obviously a slog between those three teams. Obviously, Watford was struggling as well, and Norwich were pretty much down. It's obvious. It should be possible to say at some point, we're all losing a lot of games. That's why we're down there. It's not, you're not betraying your team or anything by saying we've got to do something to win. And it's okay to say we've lost quite a lot of games so far.
No, but we all know, don't we? Never let the truth get in the way of a good story. We know that. But even with that, sometimes it's a bit too far. And I felt that one was too far. So I made sure I reached out to Frank, told him personally, look, watch the interview. If you watch the interview, you'll totally understand. Which he did, of course. He was like, look, Sean.
He'll have watched it. He does dossiers.
Well, yeah,
he does his research.
There's another one. So, you know, oh, they do dossiers and players and all that. Like no one does. It's like, wow, no, really? They do a dossier and players. You're like, yeah, everyone does that. We've all got scouts. We've all got away scouts. We've all got documents coming out of our ears. You know what I mean?
But you use documents and dossiers. But have you ever played a game of slap ass?
Well, that sounds allegedly like it might be a public school game, and you'd know more about that than me.
Yeah, back at school in Tunbridge.
Yeah, exactly. Possibly. I would suggest no. I play the thumb game, though. Play the thumb fight game. You know, my kids and that. Oh, all day. Champion,
what, thumb war?
Yeah, thumb war. Yeah,
you any good at it?
Yeah, decent. Big hands and long thumbs, yeah. There's a story for you. Look, Deitch top at thumb wars.
Because Gareth Southgate apparently used to play slap ass in the showers at Middlesbrough.
No, there's a warm up game for you like that, which we play. But you know, you have to run around and try and slap each other. But it's a warm up. It's not in the showers. Trust me.
Well, you can't be running in the showers.
Well, it's a health and safety. Good point.
Absolutely. Imagine if that got out. Chris Wood is out for 4 months after slipping in the shower, trying to slap the arse of Corne.
Yeah, that's not going to be a good situation, is it?
So if they'd have made an all or nothing about Burnley, were you ever asked, by the way, were you ever approached for like a behind the scenes documentary?
Kind of, yeah. There was an idea because the new ownership are Americans, and they kind of got that idea. The ex-ownership had that as well. They got approached, but the thing is, where do you draw the line? It's the old Big Brother camera thing. You know, where does it go from being sort of false, where people are almost acting, to kind of real? And then how much do you show of that? You know, because so much goes on in football, in the dressing rooms and all that. People have their idiosyncrasies, their oddnesses. Some of that's very private. You know yourselves, you're both in a business where before you go out, you'll have your way of, or your routine, or your setup, or the way you like to feel before you go out and do what you do. So that can be quite a personal thing, I think. You know, some players have real, real odd superstitions and things they go through, and some managers have a certain way of getting the team ready and all that. I think that should be private, to be honest. Anyway, so no is, yes is the answer. Sorry, we did get approached. The answer back was no, that's not for us.
And what would have been the worst thing that have shown? If it would have been proper access all areas, what sort of stuff would we have seen?
Well, it'd be the one when it's not working, wouldn't it? And you get the red mist and you go on the hairdryer, as they used to call it for Sir Alex. You know, that's the one where you just go, what's going to get said here? You're in the moment, you're saying whatever, you're trying to get a reaction, whatever that reaction is. That's probably the one where you probably sit down after and go, ooh, that didn't come across so well. You know, so the good stuff's easy, isn't it? You know, you win and everyone go, hey, high five, and look at that, lads, well done. You know what I mean? When it's going wrong, that's not so easy.
4D is definitely a fantasy football manager who could do with a bit of a hairdryer. He started terribly last season. He's already lost his first game this week. Are there any sort of general management tips you would give to a man who just seems not to understand? It's an almost willful neglect of the basics of football, picking players who are going to do well. What would you advise him?
Do you know what? The hardest thing in football, because it's a very emotional business, is to just stay consistent and stay level to your beliefs in what you are as a fan, even, you know, let alone managers and teams and all that. You know, as a fan, Forest, in my opinion, I just hope the fans don't forget how amazing it is to get where they got to from where they were. Because they do, you know, fans are amazing in so many ways. But I've seen it where fans just within a couple of months are like, whoa, why aren't we in the top four? And you think, oh my goodness. You've just got up out of nowhere. So I just hope there's a level playing field for the manager and the team and the town or the city where they just go, right, okay, amazing. We are not by any means, you know, there should be an expectation to at least fight and try and win games. Of course, you know, it's not just a joyride, but at the end of the day, remember how far you've come in such a short time. It's almost, you know, like just try and stay a bit level, stay behind the team. I think that's so important. I mean, I was very fortunate with the Burnley fans. They really took to what we did the first season. So when we went down the second season, they stayed with us all season, never flinched. And then the following season, we went back up out the Championship and then stayed in the Premier League until last season. So, you know, there was a real solid belief in the club and what they were doing. And just hope that remains for Forest, because it has been amazing where they've got to in such a short period.
At the end of the season, Sean, whoever finishes... Well, actually, here's a question for you. Who do you think will finish higher in the league, Leeds or Forest?
Leeds maybe just a bit more know-how. You know, they've been there a couple of seasons. They've had a scrape last season. That kind of serves you well. You know, if you have a bit of a scrape and you're near, and players learn from that. So I'd say Leeds, but only for that reason. You know, Forest have got a chance. Everyone's got a chance. You know, you go into a season in the Premier League, you're written off, right? We were written off. Bearing in mind, we had, what, 7 out of 9 seasons in the Premier League. We were written off virtually every season we were favourites to go down.
At the end of our season in this league, whoever finishes lowest out of John and I has to do a forfeit. I mean, what sort of forfeit do you think we should do? I mean, do you think it should be financial? Do you think it should be sadistic? Should it be physical?
Well, I'll tell you an amusing one that we used to do now and again with the players. When we'd have small-sided games, we'd just throw in something like a forfeit for a bit of fun. The spinny penalties is always hilarious. So you get someone on like the halfway line, spin them round a pole 20 times, and then they've got to run to the penalty spot and take a penalty. Trust me, we've had some of them the funniest ever. I mean, I've got some of them on video still now, which are absolutely hilarious. People just looking like, you know, like they've had a tranquilizer put in them, you know what I mean? And just running up to the penalty spot, falling over, and just bizarre things. So that would be a good forfeit and a good bit of fun, especially to film it, not so much on a podcast.
Well, should we do that one, whoever's bottom by Christmas, by the World Cup?
That's such a good idea.
Can I put two very quickly, because you've been very generous with your time, but because Matt and I basically leave the work of doing this podcast to the listeners suggest features to us, and there's two here that are very quick, but on behalf of the listeners, Niall suggested a feature called 10 Haagen-Dazs. So... what's your favourite ice cream flavour?
I'm not mad on sweets and stuff like that, but I think pralines and cream. I think that's the one, isn't it? That used to be lovely back in
there. Touch of class there. And Alex says, trips with Trippier. If you could go on holiday with any Premier League footballer, where would you go and who would you go with?
It would be with Trips. 100%. Love him. Think the world of him. Trips to Beefer. Definitely. I have seen Trips in action. Trust me. It's going to be good fun. Me and Trips in Beefer, that would be magical, and he knows it as well.
Oh, I look forward to the headline, international job tipped for Daesh as he's seen in Ibiza.
That's probably not going to be a favourite of mine. I'm sure he won't mind telling you a quick story about Trips, because he knows I love him. I used to have a standard joke with all the players, like Dad Pan, who say, you know, I don't do favourites apart from Trips. That's my once, many years ago, we got promoted. We went to Marbella. It's a very quick story. I woke up the next morning. One of the players said, there's some geezer who's going to be with us all day. And I went, all right, what's that? And Trips had hired an up-close magician for the whole day. That is a moment of genius, Trips. A moment of genius. So we're sitting by the pool, and every half an hour, whatever, you know, up-close magician is doing, like, mad stuff. You know, all the stuff they do. Like, you go to reception, there's a playing card in there with your name on it, and... you know, stuck on the back of a bit of glass, and, you know, the mysterious card that disappears in the swimming pool and all that. It was, honestly, it was hilarious. And that's a typical Trips thing. You'll just see something and think, right, that'd be brilliant for the lads. So, yeah, as a little trip story. Trust me.
Well, when you said you'd go to Ibiza with Trippier, what I didn't imagine is because he hires the best magicians. But, you know.
Well, I just thought I'd give you an insight into a bit of fun with the lads, because everyone...
Yeah.
Well, often people get this wrong idea. They're all doing madcap stuff, and which does happen, of course, now and again. But it was just an innocent moment of genius. You know, you've got a load of football lads, just been promoted. We're all having a couple of beers. We're sitting by the pool. Fella comes along, up close magician. Fantastic. You can't think of, all of a sudden, you've got a crowd of people around the pool going, wow, this fella's unbelievable. You know, all the usual stuff. So just a moment of genius, I thought.
Oh, Daichi, this has been amazing, mate. Thank you so much for coming on.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Cheers, mate. And hope to see you in Nottingham soon.
Certainly will, I'm sure. You could buy a drink, that'd be a shame, a chain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's not true. That's not. You can't start spreading that.
Well, the last time I saw you, only lasted, I think the shout of moped, 2 points and you full up. So anyway,
Have you ever seen Fordy sort of hovering near a buffet? I know sometimes Fordy gets in the posh seats now at Forest, and from what I gather, he sort of lurks at the back, hoovering up the Scotch eggs.
I saw him, can you confirm or deny? I saw him lurking around Taco Bell after a bit. Lurking around there.
Man, that Taco Bell, they've got two in Nottingham now, two Taco Bells.
And you know both very well, apparently.
Yeah. Well, from me and Taco Bell, and thank you very much, Sean. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week. We are back next week. Two more episodes. Again, our regular FPL show. And in the second show, we will be joined by none other than Suggs from Madness. Good luck to all of you in game week two.
Remember to get in touch. Email us hello@cpfpl.com with any feature ideas. But also, and I don't want to keep banging this drum, this won't run all season, but if you've ever been called, and I don't want to keep using the word, but a shit eater, or you called someone that, then email us hello@cpfpl.com. Find us on Insta, on Facebook, and share this far and wide. Leave a review, and it helps other people find it. Bye.
Bye.